Today's daf is daf lamed zayin. We are holding at the Halakha Mishnah that begins Shor Shalom Lohan. Now that we're talking about strongly the difference between Tam and Muad and the Chiyuvim, we're going to get into the issues that define the nature of Tam and Muad. Now, remember that we established early on in the Masechet that there's such a thing as a restored, formed Shor. It was once a Muad and then becomes a Tam. And we know only that it somehow it has to do with the establishing of a pattern of the Gichas. However, the nature of patterns, we haven't really gotten into it. I think, well, once again, the nature of patterns, it's interesting that it may well be that the dinim, this Tosis raised the question earlier about whether the dinim of Chazaka in general that are established by patterns are part of the dinim of Shor HaMuad or whether they exist outside of the Machlokas of Rebbe and Shemir that we had about whether a pattern is sufficient if it's two times or do you need to have three times. But there's other issues. Obviously, pattern recognition can involve many, many different things that we need to establish, as in most intelligent tests, what is the defining element of a set so that it can be included in a pattern. And this the Gemara is going to raise now in light of this Mishnah. Shor, shehu mu'ad l'mino. A shor which has proven itself to be a mu'ad, but only vis-a-vis its own species. So it will attack its own species. Ve'eno mu'ad l'she'eno mino. That's not clear whether that means, and it will not attack its another species, meaning it is so shown by its own pattern that it doesn't attack other species. That we'll see soon. Or it may just be saying, it's only proven to be a mu'ad vis-a-vis its own species. But it remains a tam, vis-a-vis other species. This is a machlokas, how to understand the Mishnah. And of course, that's the most fundamental machlokas about how broadly we will define a pattern. So in other words, we could define the pattern, this shor is a vicious shor. It attacks other shvarim. In which case, if it attacks your pet giraffe one day, then that's no different than attacking other shvarim. Unless, of course, it shows absolutely that it will not attack giraffes. So that even though it's being vicious to a shor, there's a giraffe standing there, it goes over and gives it a kiss. So that it clearly likes giraffes, it doesn't like shvarim. Three times. Maybe it has to establish that. I don't know. So again, that's part of the question of the Mishnah, which the Gemara will get into. How about if it's a mu'ad la'adam, but it's not a mu'ad la'beima? Same question. Does that mean by definition it's not a mu'ad la'beima, or it's established it's not a mu'ad la'beima? Mu'ad la'ketanim, it will attack small members of that species. Ve'ena mu'ad la'gedolim, as most bullies. So then, the same shor can be a tam and a mu'ad, which of course we'll have to get into. How is that possible to define in terms of shmira? If the level of shmira is the same anyway, and the whole point of the chiyuv would be the breakdown in the shmira, how can you possibly say, if I need to watch it anyway for the species for which it is a mu'ad, why in the world are I not chayev for those other species? It seems to relate to the whole idea to the topic pshiyat sofa ba'onas, which is a machloket that you had earlier, correct? I'm just trying to give the broader, exciting, you know, ideas that you immediately think of as you see these things, and we'll see how the Gemara gets into them. Continues the Mishnah. Amru lifnei Rabbi Yehuda. So the Talmidim asked Rabbi Yehuda, what's the deal in a case, at least this seems to be the way to read the Mishnah, harezim mu'ad shabbatot ve'inu mu'ad v'chol. How about there? So it only gores on Shabbat. Very religious shor. Or lahafishah. Huh? Once it's got a gore, it's already better to do some kol Shabbos along with it. I say it facetiously, but the truth is, we'll see that it's extremely important for us to define what it is that we can look at as the trigger here, and we'll soon see why. Omar lahem, so Rabbi Yehuda answered them: l'shabbatot mishalem nezek shalem, l'yamadachol mishalem chatzi nezek. Ematai hutam, and when would there be a chazara in such a case? B'shiyachzor b'shlosha yemei shabbatot. In other words, whatever element you've identified as being the common denominator of the pattern, in this case Shabbat, that becomes itself sufficient reliance to change the pattern. So if it three times now there was Chazara on the Shabbat, that itself would establish now the restoration of innocence of this reformed Shor's 12-point program. Now Rashi says, and I'm going to show you later on why this is significant. Rashi says the reason that we're giving for this shor's activities on Shabbat is that when the shor doesn't have anything to do, it starts getting a little bit feeling its oats, just like people. If you keep them busy, they stay out of trouble. But they're no longer busy, they get into trouble. So this is exactly what happens with a shark. The Yerushalmi, however, says a completely different explanation. The Yerushalmi says the reason that on Shabbat it's different is because the shark does not like shtreimlach. You know, it doesn't say quite that. It says the reason on Shabbat it goes around goring is because it doesn't recognize anybody. They're all dressed differently. So it attacks strangers. Or maybe it doesn't like the idea that you're trying to pretend to be a stranger. But in any event, you'll notice that there's a very tremendous difference here. Because according to the Yerushalmi, we're focusing on a trigger in the victim. According to Rashi, we're focusing on a trigger in the mood of the shark. Now, that can be very, very significant because of the question of if there is not a trigger. Now, let's say that the shor now, every 15th of the month, it gores. No other time. So now, it's not that people look different on the 15th of the month. Clearly, it would have something to do with if the cycle that is expressed in the menses, but it's also expressed in men. And there is a cycle that is established by relationship to time, in which the month somehow is mashpia. But that obviously has nothing to do with an external trigger. It has to do with an internal trigger. That would be the question. Mr. President, please close the front door.
So he had her, he said, where did they close during Shabbos?
You're based on this Gemara. You're based on this Gemara, labor the Yerushalmi. Exactly. Yeah, this is, okay, so again, all of this we need to explore in the Gemara. The significance of these issues. Itma. Rav Zvid Amar ve'eno mu'etzanan, Rav Papa Amar eno mu'etzanan. Rav Papa says the Mishnah is making a statement. The Mishnah is telling you, shor shu mu'ad l'mino, eno mu'ad l'sheino mino. Understand it is that it's telling you, a shor which is mu'ad l'mino is not mu'ad l'eino mino. You're only koveya a pattern in a restricted sense, not in a broad sense. It's a tremendous nafkamina here. So we don't say, since it has gore three shvarim, it is now ready to gore things. It's not true. It's now ready to gore shvarim. But if it goes out and attacks a neighbor's pet dog, then that's not included in its mu'ad status. It's only a tam vis-a-vis dogs. Whereas Rav Zvid Amar, ve'eno mu'ad, now look, the word vav is part of the statement in which it's telling us that it needs to have established that we know ve'eno mu'ad she'eno mino. And that otherwise, the translation of any pattern is in the broadest possible sense. So if this thing now is a mu'ad, it's a mu'ad for all things until you know for a fact that it's not. So in other words, if you've established that every time it gores a shor, it walks over to the giraffe that was sitting next to it and gives it a kiss just to make sure I'm not angry at you, you know. So in other words, there's other animals there that it specifically, it makes a point now of seeing them and ignoring them. Then clearly there's something about its own species that it doesn't like. All right, so then... then and only then would we say that it's ve'eno mu'ad. It's got to prove that it's ve'eno mu'ad. Hastama, so Rav Zvid Amar ve'eno mu'ad, son, we've established that it's not a mu'ad. But hastama, if you haven't established that, then enachinami, you'd first take the pattern of the mu'ad and you establish that it is a mu'ad for everything. So hastama, avi mu'ad, or as it focuses on the contrary. The Mishnah is saying eino mu'ad, a statement. Something is a mu'ad to A, it is not a mu'ad to B. In other words, the Mishnah is coming to tell me that we give a strict and limited interpretation to a pattern. Whatever has been established is established, and whatever not, it remains a mu'ad. It remains a tam. So it's stoma lo avi mu'ad. The makor in the Mishnah between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa is as follows. Rav Zvid is medayik misefa, as we'll see in a moment, and Rav Papa was medayik from the Reisha. Rav Zvid diyek misefa. Diktoni, take a look what it says. It says, Mu'ad l'ktanim ve'eno mu'ad l'gdolim. Now again, the question is, do I read that with the vav or without the vav? Now, if you learn that it means the way I say, ve'eno mu'ad. In other words, we have proven to our satisfaction that it does not attack gedolim. So three times it sees gedolim, does it attack them? But as I'm claiming, if it hasn't established that it won't attack gedolim, then hastame it would be a mu'ad. Okay. Then the reason that the Mishnah would need to state this case is to teach us, that even though you have over here a shor, which is much larger, and you would think to say, well, a bully only attacks somebody who's weaker, and therefore we should assume that it's not a mu'ad l'gdolim, no, make no such assumption. If it proves that it's a mu'ad l'gdolim, then good. But if we don't have that vav, Then the halacha is, which is a big chiddush, this is an across-the-board bully. It's going to attack every possible shor. It doesn't matter the size, it'll still attack him. And we will see that he means to say every possible animal, big or small. Okay, so then that's very good. But ela yamer deino muad katani, if the Mishnah means, as you claim, Rav Papa, that by definition, if it's a muad lektanim, it is not a muad legedol. In other words, stoma lo havi muad. We have already said that for any other species, it is not considered to be a muad, which would mean that even though it attacks a big hunky shor, it's not considered to be a muad to attack the little cat. Now, if it's such a bully, and yet it doesn't attack, you're going to, according to you, no, it's very specific. It only attacks the big. So I guess it needs to prove itself. But it's not, I'm going to attack a little cat. It's not beneath my dignity to attack a little cat. So then, kol shekein, hashti and shloma, miktanim lektanim de'alma stoma lo havi muad, you've already proven that even for other ktanim it's not a muad, right? So kol shekein miktanim lekdolim mitzrich lemeimer, do you have to even say that? That if, according to you, it's saying it's not a muad lekdolim. Well, obviously it's not a muad lekdolim. It's not even a muad for even a different type of ktanim. So kol shekein, it's not a muad for gdolim. To which the obvious response is that there's a difference between interspecies and intraspecies muad. The case where it's talking about over there, the Eno Mino, it's talking about a different species. Gedolim and Ketanim is within the same species of Rav Papa. That's not a Chiddush. Therefore, it says Rav Papa, of course I need that. Because Sagadat Mino hold a Paratzbe, the Aumina, Paratzbe. Whatever species it's attacking. So I would have thought, okay, once it's already angry, when it's in the presence of whatever it is, a shor, a giraffe, a donkey, it's not paying attention to the size. Loshna Gedolim, the day of that species. So therefore, I need to know that, no, that's not true. Even within a species that you have established, there's a difference between the Gedolim and the Ketanim. Now, obviously, this, according to Rav Zvid, that itself is nonsense because there is no such thing as establishing Dafka. And naturally, Rav Zvid, l'shitato, doesn't look at that argument because, what do you mean to say? This is a typical, in the arguments in the Gemara, first let's make all of the assumptions that we are making, and see that given those assumptions, the Mishnah makes no sense. Obviously, according to Rav Papa, I changed all those assumptions. I mean, Rav Zvid also understood that's what he's going to be forced to say. So, kamash mo lo'avi muad. Rav Papa, who says that the meaning in the Mishnah is that it's telling you a statement. You should know that if something is a muad to A, it's not a muad to B. Where does he get that from? I mean, the Mishnah does say ve'eno muad. How does he know to read it eino muad? So, Rav Papa, he's bedayik from the Resha. And he says like this, the Ketani. Mu'ad la'adam eno mu'ad la'beima. Okay. So, i'amit bishleima eno mu'atnan. Says Rav Papa, look, if the Mishnah means what I say, that this is a statement, it is not a mu'ad. That's stoma lo havi mu'ad. Okay, then there's a chiddush. But then kamash molam. Dafilu mi'adam la'beima nami stoma lo havi mu'ad. It's coming to tell me a chiddush that even a mu'ad for an adam is a very vicious animal, because generally animals will avoid attacking an adam. And nonetheless, it's only a muad to an adam and not a muad to a behemoth. But i'amrit ve'en a muad katani. If all it's saying is what you say, that it proves that it's not a muad, but that min astam it would be a muad. I mean, hashti yesh lomar mi behemoth la behemoth astam have a muad. According to you, the Mishnah already said that it's a muad from one species to the other. So mi adam la behemoth tzicha la behemoth have a muad. I mean, so kol shekein, if it's established that it's a muad for an adam, I mean, then it's really vicious. So of course, according to you, it would be a muad for behemah. So why bother mentioning it? And you can't say that the reason that it mentions it is it goofa to tell me the chiddush that it can prove itself to not be a muad by not attacking a behemah, and it'll still only pay chatzi nezek. Because why not? I mean, once you've established the idea that it's possible to have 12-point programs for shvarim, so I mean, why would there be a difference between changing its mind for gabi behemah? I mean, or changing its mind, the Gabi Adam. So that can't be the Chiddush either. Says Rav Zvid, not true. Not true. The Chiddush could be in the nature of Chazora. In other words, what it might be saying is like this, says Rav Zvid. Resha was going on Chazora. It's going on a reforming of a Shor. Meaning that the Shor began with being a Muad both for Adam and for Behemoth. Okay. Now the question is, is there such a thing as being reformed only from bourbon and not from scotch? I mean, look, you got a problem with alcohol. So don't tell me, well, you can bring as much bourbon as you want. I've already proven myself to be free of the need to drink bourbon. Even though we see that every time this guy sees a bottle of scotch, he's found dead in the gutter the next morning. So what are we going to say? Well, he's really reformed, but he's reformed the Gabi bourbon, not the Gabi scotch. But that's what you're trying to tell me, says Ruzvi. You tell me that's not a chiddush? This animal, the chatchila, was a muad la'adam and a muad la'behem. Now it's shown itself, and that's why it says, ve'en a muad la'behem, meaning it is now showing itself to have reformed its ways, but only when it comes to a behema. Oh, that's really weird. I mean, that's even worse. That's like now you're going to be reformed from scotch and not from bourbon, you know. I mean, because over here he's still attacking the Adam. Is he still attacking the Adam? Yeah, no, I'm not so sure. If this guy's found in the gutter over bourbon, you're going to tell me that a good single malt's not going to get him into the gutter next time. So over there, he was koi gabi behema talatazim. So he established three times he hasn't attacked the behema. But during this period, he keeps attacking humans, you understand? So you might think, look, this shore is still vicious. I mean, it's so vicious that that's an Adam. Certainly, chazarat beima lav chazarai. It's not considered to be chazara when it comes to beima. Kamash malan de chazarat beima mia chazarai. That it is considered to be chazara when it comes to the beima. Okay, so that's how I understand that element of kiddush. Says the Gemara, but then, I mean, how do you understand this? I mean, Sumchus argues on the chachamim, and Sumchus omer muad la'adam muad la'beima mikal v'chomer. If someone is a muad, he's a muad. Certainly, it's from an Adam to a Behema, because if now, what is that saying? That's Sumchus' opinion. But that, according to the Chachamim, he was reacting to the Chachamim. The Chachamim obviously said, so Sumchus is saying, nah, how can you say such a thing? If it's a Mu'ad the Behema, the Adam, Koshke, should be a Mu'ad the Behema. But you, Reb Zvid, you're tining that the Tanakhama never said that. You're tining that min hastam, you have to prove yourself that you're not a muad, but min hastam, you would be a muad. And here it's very, very clear from the discussion between Tzumchus and the Tanakhama that actually Rav Papa is right. The way to understand the Tanakhama is that min hastam, you're not a muad to anything that you weren't koveya. Kobash wants Tzumchus. Well, I disagree. I say in this case, I mean, if you're that vicious, you're vicious for everything. But clearly, the norm is that you're not establishing an overall pattern of being a tam. You're establishing a mu'ad, you're establishing a specific pattern of being a mu'ad for whatever it is that you establish the ha'adah for. So then that means that Rav Papa is absolutely correct in reading the Mishnah, the way that he read the Mishnah. That the Mishnah is saying, min hastam eino mu'ad. So how does Rav Zvid understand this? According to Rav Zvid, min hastam you are a mu'ad. So why all of a sudden is Sumchus arguing about something we've all agreed on? Amalei Rav Zvid, once again, you missed the point. Sumchus is referring to the case of Chazarah. Again, we're talking about a reformed shore. So Sumchus is saying, you claimed Tanakhama, as I've explained to you already, the Tanakhama was talking about a reformed shore. So the Tanakhama, he's saying like this, Dika Armit, your claim, as Rav Zvid has so kindly explained in the future, that's me. So you said that Chazara de Behema is a Chazara. I disagree with that, and I tell you, Chazara de Behema lav Chazarai. Because it comes over, if this shore is still drinking bourbon, Koshikane, it's going to drink scotch. So therefore, if it's angry now, and an Adam lokomader, it's so vicious that it attacks Adam, so mi behema lokoshikane, you cannot trust that type of chazara. But they're not talking about establishing the pattern. To establish a pattern, we establish the pattern in a very broad sense, and everybody's agreed that it would initially have been a muad for both. Om Ravashi says, look, this entire conversation is moot. If you read the closing part of the Mishnah, there's nothing that you can doubt about the meaning of the statement ve'ein muad. Read the closing part. After the Mishnah establishes for what it's a muad, it's Mishal Nezik Sholeim. For what it's not a muad, it's Mishal Chatzin Nezik. We have this little story. Talmidim come to Rabbi Yehuda, and they say, let's read that inside again. Omru lifnei Rabbi Yehuda. Look inside the Mishnah. Hare zeh, you're on the wrong page. It always helps to be on the right page. They said to Rabbi Yehuda, Hareze mu'ad l'shabbatot. You want to get the page for him, please? Hareze mu'ad l'shabbatot ve'eino mu'ad l'chol. Now, that seems to be a question. In a case where an animal is a mu'ad for Shabbos and not l'chol. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Omar lem l'shabbatot b'shalem nezik shalem, yimotachom b'shalem chatzi nezik. Okay. I dare you to read that. Go ahead. Read that. Is that a question or is that a statement? I mean, according to Rav Pop, it's a statement. Let's read the statement in the Mishnah. Amrul if they told Rav Yehuda, Hareze muad l'shabbatot Ve'in ol mu'ad l'cho. Close of statement. The din is, come to Talmidim to teach Rabbi Yehuda something. Listen, Rebbe, you never told us, but we're going to teach you that something that is a mu'ad l'Shabbos is not a mu'ad l'cho. And that's ridiculous. Understand what? We need to tell us that the Talmidim came to teach Rabbi Yehuda. They're not asking you. And he answers them, Amar Lahem, and he says, gosh, then that would mean that a mu'ad pays nezek shalem and a tam is b'shalem chatsi nezek. I mean, this is the first time you've discovered this amazing halacha, that a mu'ad is b'shalem nezek shalem and a tam is b'shalem chatsi nezek. Rav Yehuda, I suppose, never read the Bible before. He's afraid his Talmidim didn't read the Bible. I mean, the whole conversation is absolutely inane. The way Rav Zvi is learning, it makes sense. The Talmidim are asking, is it a valid statement to say that you can establish being a mu'ad for Shabbat and not for Chol? Or do we say, I mean, there's insufficient clarity about the catalyst to be able to say such a thing, that the day should make a difference? And he answered them, indeed it is valid, and the din would be, as strange as it appears, that be a motach Chol, you will pay chatzi nezek, and on Shabbat you'll pay nezek shach. That's the only way to read it. Otherwise, what are they talking about? So I can raise the question. Now you can see the beginnings here of an issue. If you're raising the question about the nature of mu'ad in days, and why would that be different than a mu'ad for species or a mu'ad for size, obviously, it means that we are not certain as to the nature of the catalyst. We see a pattern. The pattern to us, however, is that the pattern in the shor? I mean, the shor knows that they made kiddush last night, so now it's Shabbos. But that's not the pattern in the shor. Are you able to define precisely what the pattern in the shor is? No. Is this a valid pattern? You see the pattern. Whereas the whole point of mu'ad is that you've got to be able to explain where's the pattern that the shor sees. So Rav Yehuda says, look, you don't need to establish precisely what the catalyst is. The fact is the pattern exists. There's obviously some issue. Now, it may take a long time to discover what that issue is. Maybe we should get all of the people on Shabbos to dress up as if it's Chol and see if the shor is... But nobody's going to do that. You know, or maybe we should check the blood level of testosterone in the shor on Shabbos, you know, because he's not working. But nobody's going to do this. I mean, but it's irrelevant. The fact is, the pattern for you is what's important in terms of defining the din. And whatever the thing is, give an explanation. Don't give an explanation. The pattern is a realistic pattern.
If it was Wednesdays.
Oh, exactly. Now, that we're going to have. You walked in late. So you haven't talked to. You didn't even hear the machlokas of Yerushalmi and Rashi. It's like, okay. So what's the Vasuran? Good. So now, that was the question. Let's see that inside. Om Rav Asher. Oh, that's true. That's true. I can argue on that. Tashma, Omruli Fnei Rebbe Yudah, Reze, Muad HaShabbatot Veinu Muad Limotachol, Omar Leon HaShabbatot B'Shalem Nezim, Shalom Limotachol B'Shalem Chatzin Nezim. Now look, Iyamit B'Shalema, Veinu Muad Ketan. If you're going to tell me that we're going a little bit of Rup Zvid, and what the Talmidim said to him was, and we know for a fact that the shor did not gore during a week. What's the din? So Shiuli Odekamishailele, they're asking him, what's the din in the event that such a, is it a valid pattern or not? And he answers them, Lunamikabaharulu, and he's saying, yes, it is a valid pattern, and so on and so forth. But if you're learning like Rav Papa, Iyamr, that the word is, Eino Muad L'cho. Oh. So now, basically, you've just made a statement, right? So, Eliyamid, Eino Muad Katani, so Admuri Yehuda come again, so in other words, they're coming to teach Rav Yehuda. Over the fun, Lefnei Rav Yehuda. What? That doesn't make any sense. Furthermore, the two, what did he answer them? What's he telling them this halacha for? What exactly was he answering them when he answers them? There's no, they never asked him anything. Om Rav Yehuda, Mireisha Nami, Deka, Diktani, Etche Muad Lo Mishalem Nezek Shalem, Vetche Eino Muad Lo Mishalem Chatzi Nezek. It's just from the Mishnah. I mean, forget about even Rav Yehuda. The Mishnah doesn't even make sense. The Mishnah ends with the words, if the Mishnah is coming to explain that in a case where we've established that it's not a mu'ed, so Pirushka Mefarishla, you have now explained what you're saying, that in the event that, we have these cases, it established that it was a mu'ed for A, but not a mu'ed for B. It established a mu'ed for C, but not a mu'ed for D. Established on a way its own and so forth. Then, what would be the din? Answers the Mishnah, the din would be that indeed it would pay chatzi nezek, even though you would think it's the same din of Shmirah and so on, that are necessary. No, for the same act, but a different victim, which is irrelevant to your Shmirah, the din is that vis-a-vis the tzam, it pays chatzi nezek, and the element of itself, which is a mu'ed, it pays nezek shalit. Brilliant Mishnah. But if the statement in the Mishnah is what Rav Papa is saying, be it known that a mu'ad for A is not a mu'ad for B. Yes. Now, and what's the next piece? Eshu mu'ad lo mishalim. I mean, the Kiddush was that mu'ad for A is not mu'ad for B. Which obviously means that for A will pay chatzin nezek, for B it won't pay chatzin nezek. Suddenly comes along the Mishnah with this brilliant idea. And now you should know that whatever you're a mu'ad for, you pay nezek shalom. This is a wonderful place to introduce an idea that we've been talking about all along. So how do you understand the Mishnah? So yeah, Bishlema ve'en a mu'ad katani, so kpirushikom afarishah. We're now explaining the statement that yes, you should know that having established that you're not a mu'ad for B, then the din would be as follows. Eliyam et ein a mu'ad katani. Then that is the Kiddush. Pasuk, you now made a statement. Mu'ad for A is not a mu'ad for B. It's not that you're setting up cases. What about a case where you're a mu'ad for A and you've established you're not a mu'ad for B? What about a case if you're a mu'ad for C but you're not a mu'ad for D, which is the way Ruzvita's learned? Then the din would be, indeed, that you pay chatzidezik for A and not for B. You pay nezik shalim for B. Right? Okay. It's a very nice way to read the Mishnah. But the way Rav Papa's learning, the statement was completed. There's three separate statements. Mu'ad for A, be it known, is not a mu'ad for B. Kiddush. Mu'ad for C, be it known, is not a mu'ad for D. So what's the point of the continuation? Paskas, now you finish your statement. My two, and now do you, why do you add? Et shubu'ad lo mishalim nezik shalim. We never heard that before. The mission really needs to teach us the din of tam and mu'ad. This is nuts. Forget about even in the discussion of Rav Yehuda. There's no way to read Rav Papa into this Mishnah. Now look, I mean, if you're going to tell me that somehow things work out like Rav Papa, let's just discuss Rav Papa for a moment. So Rav Papa is saying we give the strictest possible definition to the pattern. We don't establish a very broad pattern. We try to figure out what are the elements of the set that the pattern is dealing with. You should know that even if that's true, there's also the principle of elegance. Because in the same way that the very nature of the pattern of mu'ad means that we search for elegance. Isn't that what it means? It means that if a shor gores three times, we do not say, as our children always claim, that there was a separate issue each time. That was because I was tired. That's why I didn't do my homework. And that day was because I was not feeling so well that I had it. That's why I didn't do my homework. And that day was because you yelled at me. So I was depressed. So that's why I didn't do my homework. But in general, I always do my homework. So the same thing is true of a shor. So the shor didn't gore three. It gored three times. And what is that proof? One day it had a tummy ache. Another day it was overworked. And this day it was very sunny and hot and was feeling really upset. Okay, so again, the idea over here is look for the elegant explanation. The elegant explanation is this is a vicious animal. That's the elegant explanation. But by the same token, elegance is also mechayev Rav Papa in the broader sense too. Because when Rav Papa says we give you a strict definition of a pattern, how about if the pattern itself includes other elements? So that's a nagach shor chamor v'gamal. So now, the inelegant explanation is, the shor is not really a vicious shor, it's only vicious towards a shor, or a chamor, or a gamal. No. The elegant explanation is this is a shor that hates animals. And therefore, it's not simu'ad l'kol, even aliba, the Rav Papa. Okay. Tana Rabban, ra'ah shor nagah. Let's say it sees a shor, and it gores the shor. But then it sees a shor, and lo nagah. And then it sees a shor, and it is nagah. But then it sees a shor, and it's lo nagah. But then it sees a shor, and it is nagah. And it sees a shor, that's lo nagah. Now if it's nagah, what is it? Ma'aseh mu'ad l'seirugin, the shvarim. This is still a pattern. The pattern is that it gores every other shor that it sees, or every other time that it sees a shor. All right, so that, in other words, what we need is we need two stimuli in order to get it to respond. But the pattern is still a valid pattern. This now establishes something new, because really, remember what we're saying until now, was that we understand patterns that we can focus on the catalyst. We can understand a pattern where we're not clear what the catalyst is, but we understand that the pattern is very obvious. So to the shor, there must be a catalyst. But over here, we've got a strange situation. We know what the catalyst is. We know that it doesn't like shvarim, but there's obviously something else that's involved. which we're not able to identify, something that's internally different. And that internal difference becomes now part of a pattern where we do have a catalyst. By the way, is this only going out of the Rav Papa? Because it says over here, L'shvarim l'seirugin. According to Rav Zvid, it should be for anything else as well, right? Because according to him, we'll always establish the pattern. I mean, surely we're not going to suggest, since there's another element, that even Rav Zvid is going to argue that in this case, we should look for a strict interpretation of the pattern since we don't know what the catalyst is. So Tosis says, but that's an interesting argument. I'm making it. I mean, but Tosis takes for granted that we would never say such a thing, and that if it's to work out according to Rav Zvid, it would mean that it saw other animals in between all the time, and it always went over and kissed the giraffe, basically. So that it's established that it's only, even on the Rav Zvid, only for Shvarim, even though there's some other element in the catalyst that we can't identify, which is the day. So not the day, the time, rather. Toda Rabbana. Ra'ashor Nagach. Chamor lo nagach. Sus nagach. Gamol lo nagach. Pered nagach. Arod lo nagach. Okay, so now it becomes a muad to every other negicha lakom. Because what is the elegant explanation here is not to add up the species. Well, it's these species that it doesn't gore, and it's these species that it does gore. The more obvious pattern is the seirugin itself. Every other stimulus it responds to. So if it has multiple stimuli, whatever they are, at the second stimulus, it will respond. That would be the pshat of the seirugin, rather than to give the inelegant explanation that focused on the specifics of what it is that it did. Iboilo. Question would be, these are such brilliant, this sugya is absolutely mind-boggling. Because again, pattern recognition is such a contemporary issue in computer intelligence, in mathematics. It's absolutely astonishing that here all of the various issues of pattern recognition are introduced. The dynam of sets and so on and so forth. The Gemara now is setting out some of the fundamental issues. Suppose you see, this animal sees, a shor, shor, vishor. And it gores. Three times in a row it gores a shor. And then along comes a chamor and it gores the chamor. And along comes a gamal and it gores the gamal. To keep things easy, let's assume that the question is only on Liblit of Papa, as the Rif assumes. And we'll explain how we could make it work out on Liblit of Zvid, the way Tosfos argues under it. So according to Rif Papa, Mahu. I mean, there's two ways of looking at it. We can look at one pattern as established as shor, shor, shor. And now we see two events of Chamor v'Gamal that do not define a universal pattern of this thing being imuad. So that would mean the Shor Batra, the last Shor, would be part of the pattern of the first two Shvarim. Because now that we see the whole thing, we see Shor, Shor, Shor. We can say, well, I mean, why see Shor, Shor, Shor? Just see Shor Chamor v'Gamal. I mean, the first two Shvarim have not yet established the pattern, that the pattern has a right to absorb the third Shor. So now you're only assuming it's a pattern because you see it as a pattern from the outside. But in other words, depending on your perspective, if I would have shown you only Shor Chamor v'Gamal, you would have included that this is a Muad Lakol. What's the din over there? Do we say I Shor Batra, third Shor, is part of a pattern of Shvarim, which it itself establishes? So can we say that? That being as it would establish, if we wouldn't see the whole thing from the outside, it would have established a pattern. So that's the pattern. In which case, Akati l'shvarim of the ayah l'midi achrina lo, which would mean that it definitely only is now a muad for shvarim and not for anything else. Thus, this is according to Rav Zvid, we could always have the kiss to the giraffe. That's name for a book. So the kiss to the giraffe is the name of a book, Tears of the Giraffe. But this is not. So the kiss of the giraffe would establish that it's not a muad for other animals. It could go in that between these things. It didn't respond. We could perhaps say that. We don't need to get into why the Rif argues. It says this can only work out in the Rif Papa. Or do we say, oh Dilma, High Shor Batra, the last Shor, could be seen, could it not, as part of a pattern that includes Shor Chamor v'Gamal? In which case, we would be miyayed l'kulamine, even on the Bitter of Papa, it would now become a muad for all species. Okay, now, even as soon, now there we have, again, there's two issues there that interest us. And that is, we begin with Shor Shor. Since we begin with Shor Shor, patterns have a built-in bias towards their beginnings. So I understand that we've got Shor, Shor. So now I want to add Shor to the beginning because the beginnings of the pattern were already visible. How about the other way around? How about Chamor, Gamal, Shor? Now the Shor seems to be part of a random selection, but then it keeps going Shor, Shor, Shor.
In which case the question is, do I view the last shor of the Chamor V'Gamal as part of a random nun-pattern of Chamor V'Gamal V'Shor, which would have just told us it's a mu'ud for all things, or do we say we can cancel the beginning of a pattern? So this is an Intim Telomer, as Tosis points out, by having the Chamor V'Gamal saying, oh, the fact that we continue now and establish shor, excludes the Chamor V'Gamal from the pattern. Oh, this is so much fun. Then inside, the other cool, I mean, what would be the case of Chamor V'Gamal shor, ma'u? Hi, Shor Kama, but the Chamor V'Gamal shedina levi ayayla the kula mine. Odilma, the third Shor is but the Shvarim shedina levi. In which case, it's only a Mu'ed akata the Shvarim levi ayayid, but for any other species of Midiachrin, a loy ayayid. Now, being as we already know that we are not as happy with patterns that are established in days, where we can't identify the catalyst, as we are with patterns that are established by a clear catalyst, I have the same problem about Shabbat. Oops, Sunday, Monday. Ooh. So now, is the third Shabbat part of Shabbat, Sunday, Monday? Or is the third Shabbat part of Shabbat? So what would be the din over there? So we have Shabbat, Echad b'Shabbat, b'Sheni b'Shabbat. Wow. Hai Shabbat patraita. But the Shabbat to the Shadin Alev, Akat to the Shabbat to the Yayid, but the Kol lo Yayid. So we say, it is not a Mu'ad yet for the week, only for the Shabbat. Oh, Dilma, do we say that we have a pattern over here? Shabbat, Rishon b'Shabbat, Sheni b'Shabbat, Shedin Alev, in which case, Akate, it would be a Mu'ad for every day of the week. And if you're ready to say that in that case, I am limited to the initial beginnings of the pattern, which are Shabbat, how about if it does it the other way around? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, nothing to do with Shabbat. But then it's Shabbat. Aha, so obviously Saturday is important. Now it becomes Shabbat in retrospect. It's Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, not Thursday, Friday, Saturday. How do I look at that? Thursday, Friday, Shabbat. What would I say over there, Mao? So do we say the first Shabbat is part of Thursday, Friday, Saturday? So Bata Hamishib Shabbat Rev Shabbat Shadina Levaya the Kula Yume? It doesn't have any significance to Saturdays. Oh, it's just the day part that's important. Oh, Dilma, hi Shabbat Kamaite, but the Shabbat Totu. Now that we see the pattern of Shabbat, we'll have to say that it's not the day that's important, it's the Shavitah that's important. That's the question. Will the Shabbat to the Yahya then not the Chol Teku and all of the above? Now, that was part of the Machlokas. According to Rashi, the Shavitah was the Goring. A Shor that's kept busy is a Shor that's kept safe. Hamalacha Mishakacha Tatahon. But you give this shor a rest, and he starts getting uppity. Paro figured the same thing. Nirpima tem nirpima king. Keep you busy. And that's the idea. Keep you busy enough not to get uppity. Now, here we get an even more brilliant issue. This is so amazing. Now we're going to use the name of shor to interrelate it, where we've got cases where we cannot establish an external stimulus. This is why I said to you that the Yerushalmi's approach to the Mishnah becomes over here now very nogea, because the Yerushalmi says, the point of Shabbat is not that it's Shabbat, and it's not dependent on the mood of the shor. The point of Shabbat is that everybody is dressed differently. Maybe the shor hates Trimlach. Or maybe the shor doesn't recognize people on Shabbat. Or maybe the shor doesn't like people getting uppity and dressing up fancier than they should be. Or whatever. So Yerushalmi says he doesn't recognize anybody. They're all strangers. So now he's decided to attack the strangers. That's all that it's about. Okay. Clearly there will be cases where that's not true. Clearly there will be cases where, let's say, every 15th of the month, this shor gores someone. Now, there we are willing to say that every 15th of the month, ein achinami, there are cycles that we find that are expressed in humans. Maybe these same cycles are expressed in shvarim. And now every 15th of the month it gores, we'd be ready to say that. But how about if it creates a pattern in which it skips a day?
Is every 15th of the day?
No, every 15th of the month, which is linked to the moon, which is linked to these kind of lunar patterns, which are much more impactful on humans. Okay. I mean, having come from those oceans, I'm sure the tides meant a great deal way back when. The Nagat Shor Yom Chamishasar B'Chodesh Zeh. This month it attacks on the 15th. Next month it attacks on the 16th. Yom Tet Zayim B'Chodeset. The next month it attacks on the 17th. Now this is fascinating. Because, you see, do you have a pattern here of skipping a day? No. you only have two times skipping. But if you lift up, from your perspective, what you see now is a pattern that includes the first day, because that's when it happened, and I need to use it in my pattern. And therefore, what I see is that it has a pattern of goring every day plus one. So one plus two is a valid pattern. Or I could say, no, wait a minute. The plus only occurred twice. So how can that be a valid pattern? So this would be a machlokas. Now, even though clearly, if it would be linked to the day itself, 15, 15, 15, those 3 days would be all on the same level, and we would have a pattern. But if it's linked to a gap in which we need to identify the gap, then maybe we don't have a right to include something which hasn't yet become part of that pattern. We can't say in retrospect it becomes part of the pattern. Because even in retrospect, you've only shown the plus one twice, not three times. This is, amazingly, a machlokas benogea mensis. Exactly the same machlokas. And let us use the machlokas there between Rav and Shmuel as the din here, which becomes very nogea l'alacha. Do we paskin like Rav or do we paskin like Shmuel? If this is essentially a monetary issue between Muad and Tam, so then the halacha is like Rav in Isser, but not in Momon. We should paskin like Shmuel. If this is essentially a machlokas that is linked to the menses, then this is a question of Isser, and then the halacha will be indeed like Rav, not like Shmuel. So that is in machlokas rishonim. What is the essential measurement of the halacha here? Paskin like Rav or paskin like Shmuel? It's remarkable. Okay, so this is Pluto the Rav and Shmuel, the Ijma. What is the din? Do we say when she's ro'ah in this pattern? So then it's daya sha'ata. It's considered to be that she has a menstrual cycle with all of those dinim. You don't have to worry about what happened the day before and so on and so forth, as we learned in Nida. So Rav says, yes, Kabbalah Veset, she now is expected to be ro'ah on the 18th of the fourth month. And therefore, since there's always a plus one, if she's Roa on that day, then Daya Sha'atan, she's an Isha Sheyesh Laveset. Shmuel says, no, the essence over here is the plus one, which is the Dilug. And she has not established the Dilug yet. Now, as Tosis points out, everybody is Moda. That if the only pattern is the Dilug, and it's not related to the days. So in other words, let's say she would be Roya 20 days after her first Re'iyah, 20 days after her second Re'iyah. There's no question that she does not have a Veset Bedilug, and still she was Bedalic three times. You see, that's what's so brilliant about it. If everything is related to the Dilug, so of course you need to establish a Dilug three times. Because there's no other point that we can relate to it other than the gap itself. But in this case, the gap only comes to tell me about the day. Because it's clearly linked to the day plus. And this is the multiple issue that we discussed earlier, where it gores on this day, the double stimulus question that we had. How does that relate to the various species between the Gorians and so on? So where you've got multiple stimuli. This over here is the question, forget about multiple stimuli, multiple issues. One thing is linked to a day, and one thing is linked to a gap. So even though a gap, clearly I need to establish three times a gap. And even though a day, everybody's made it, I only need to establish three times the day. But if it's a day with a gap, then what? Is it a gap or is it a day? That was the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, the same Machlokas Lagabi Menses. So just like we would say over there, Rav says Kabbalah Veset, Shmuel says Ashet Shalish B'Dilug, even though you're only adding one, but that's a Dilug. You've got to show me three times that you add one. Omar Rav, but there may be many different reasons and so on. Omar Rav, that's the Machlokas Rishon. Omar Rav, Shema Kol Shofar V'Nagag. Here's another brilliant idea. Suppose we can identify a catalyst. But we can identify multiple levels of this catalyst. So let's say the first time an animal hears the beetles. Okay. So now every time it hears the beetles, it goes out and it gores, right? So now you might say, okay, this animal doesn't like the beetles. Or it does like the beetles, exactly. Exactly, just like the other teenagers in the beetles. Oh, there you go. So now it hears a shofar once, it's nogeach. Here's a shofar again, it's nogeach. Here's a shofar a third time, it's nogeach. Says the Gemara, so then it's a muad for shofars. Well, obviously, what's the case of that? Pshita. The catalyst is clearly the shofar. No, because you see, ma'ad tema, you might think you can't include the first shofar in the pattern. because any loud noise might have scared it at first. It might just be reacting to the noise. Now you're saying, but now that we, now that you see, that doesn't mean now that the shor sees. So you have identified a pattern of shofarot. Maybe what's happened is that the shor was startled, so it gored. And then it starts hating the shofar, maybe because it was startled the first time in its life by a shofar. I don't know. But at this point, it doesn't like shofars. But you got to prove three times that it doesn't like shofars. You can't jump to conclusions. It doesn't like shofars. Therefore, Kamashman, again, that you might have thought that our shofar kind of see you to be almost the knock thing. It's terrified by the noise. Or by the kol shofar. It was sensitive. I eat a kashofar by year. Ba'am lo yecharadu. Maybe it holds that point. That shvarim are b'klal am. You know, big mach locus. So that's the shayla. So maybe it was you to be amodinactic, compassionate, and again, that the elegant explanation includes leaving out of patterns that you can discern other issues which you think might need to be taken into consideration. Kamashmal, not to take those issues into consideration. This is very nogea models for market performance, by the way. Extremely nogea lofa lemaisa. Because there are those who hold that the more factors that you can identify in a model, the better your model is. There's others who tell you exactly the opposite. The more factors you identify in the market modeling, the worse your model is. Because basically what you need to do is always search for an elegant solution rather than searching for the multiple number of things that might be a solution, right? That's exactly the issues that we're raising over here. So this shofar actually brings that to the fore. Shor shumud lamina mina mud lachena mina mud lana mina mud lebe mina mud lachena 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 Omrulif they rabbi raise mud the shabbat the venom the kol marlam the shabbat the sham the shabbat the kham sham khatsin ez Emotayo tam shi yav ba shlosha yom shabbat titma Rezvin amar ve enamut an rav papa amar enamut an Rezvin amar ve enamut an stama avimut rav papa amar enamut an stama lo avimut Rezvin daik be sefer rav papa daik be resha Rezvin daik be sefer diktani mud diktani menamut gdolim Seri pishlema ve enamut ketani at stama avimut akamash rav fil miktan gdolim nami stama avimut Eliyam redeinu mud ketani stama lo avimut ash de yesh lavan miktan miktan dam stama lo avimut miktan gdolim tsikhin meimar lo avimut Rav Papa Amar Lach Yitzchak, Sakadate, Kamina Hoel, Vaparats Pei, Behai, Mina Parats Pei, Loshna Gedolim, Didei, Veloshna Ketanim, Didei, Kamashmulan, Delo Avigud. Rav Papa Diek Mireisha, Diktani. Mud, the other many mud, the Behem, as Yamrit Bishlema, Eno Muet, Dan, Stoma Lo Havi Muet. So Kamashmulan, the Afilu, the Adam, the Behem, and Ami, Stoma Lo Havi Muet. And the Yamrit, Veno Muet, Ketani, a Stoma Havi Muet, Ashti, Yeshlomar, Mi Behem, Ala Behem, Stoma Havi Muet, Behadam, the Behem, Atzik, Ala Behem, Ravi Muet. Rizvi Ramalacha, Resha Achazarakoi, Kagon, Navi Mood, the Anamu with Lame initially. Now, Hodder Bay me Bay, but the Koyga Bay Matlatis him below Noga. So, Mada Temekim and the Lohadar Bay me Adam, Chazarad Bay Malav Chazara, he come Ashland, the Chazarad Bay Mamia Chazarai, Maitve, Sumka Summer Mood, the Anamu with Lame Kabakoma, Adam, Mood, the Mamakoshikan, and obvious that the Tanakama, ain't no Mood Kama. Amar Rizvid, yes, it's obvious, but Sumka was a Chazarakoi, welcome to Tanakama. Dikamr Khazarad Bema Khazarai, Khazarad Bema Lav Khazarai Mikava Khomra Miadam. Ma Miadam Lo Kamahadabe, Mi Bema Lo Koshikin. Om Ravashi Toshma, Om Rulif Ne Rebi Yuda Reze Muad Shabatot, the Inu Muad Yemotachol. Amar Lahem the Shabatot, Bishlam Nezek Shalom, the Motachol Bishlam Khazanezek. So Yamit Bishlam, the Inu Muad Katani, which is the case, not the given. So then Shiloh the Kamahashi Levu, now become a Hadalu. But if they're saying Inu Muad, what? They're coming to teach him? The two, why is he? They didn't ask him anything. But the truth is that im tibzalamer nami itelar of papa, then you should know that nogak shor chamor vegamal nase muad lekol. Even according to him, Tan Rabban, rosh shor nogak shor lo nogak nase muad leserugin leshvarim. Tan Rabban rosh shor nogak chamor lo nogak sus nogak chamor lo nogak peren nogak harod lo nogak nase muad leserugin lekol. Ibayelu. Nagak shor v'chamor v'gom. Omao. Hai shor bat v'bot ha-shvarim neshadin alei. V'akat ha-shvar mod yayid l'mid yechrin alo yayid. Odima hai shor bat v'bot ha-chamor v'gamal shadin alei. V'yayid l'ilukul l'mile. Chamor gamal shor mao.
Hayshav kama but the chamor v'gamal shadina levi yaid lelo kulamine. Adu about the shvarim shadina levi akaz the shvarim the yaid levi nachmin lo yaid. Shabbat 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 echad b'Shabbat sheni b'Shabbat mal. Hay Shabbat batraita about the Shabbat the shadina levi akaz the Shabbat the yaid lemen imatachol lo yaid. Adu about tar echad b'Shabbat v'sheni b'Shabbat shadina levi yaid lelo kulayuma. Chamishi b'Shabbat erev Shabbat v'Shabbat Shabbat Shabbat mal. Hay Shabbat kamaita about the chamishi b'Shabbat erev Shabbat shadina levi yaid lelo kulayuma. Mother, they have a shofar, come and see you to be Amadanakte, come marshmallow, beep.